From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Independent Slovenia is celebrating its 15th birthday, the anniversary of the day it became the first republic to secede from Yugoslavia. Slovenia's economy is thriving. It's a member of NATO, and it's the only new EU member deemed ready for the euro in 2007. Still, many in Slovenia are ambivalent about the changes they've seen. From Slovenia, Amy Standen reports.
Earlier this summer, the band Zaklonišče Prepeva played to a crowd of students here in downtown Ljubljana, Slovenia's capital. The gelato stands and outdoor cafes were packed with shoppers. Ljubljana could have been any prosperous Western European town, which is why Računate na nas, one of the songs that brought the crowd to its feet, seemed a little incongruous. Računate na nas, or Count on Us, was written in 1978 as an anthem to socialism and Josip Broz Tito, the former dictator of Yugoslavia. Today, it sounds like what people here call Yugo-nostalgia, the yearning for the days before Slovenia left Yugoslavia and socialism behind.
I was always proud to be in Yugoslavia.
Juri Kravel runs a cafe in Ljubljana, where a photo of Tito, broad-shouldered and handsome with a wide Slavic brow, hangs behind the register.
Everybody knew Yugoslavia. If they didn't know about Yugoslavia, they knew about Tito. Red passport Yugoslavia, I was welcomed everywhere.
A Slovenian passport will also get you pretty much anywhere you'd want to go today. But the name of Slovenia's prime minister, Janez Janša, may not ring a lot of bells. U.S. President Bush is only the most famous person to have confused Slovenia with Slovakia. USA Today made the same mistake. But Slovenes don't just miss belonging to a country that everyone knew. Some say life back then was simply better. Again, Juri Kravel.
The life actually was simple. You didn't have any worries. People had sure jobs. Social security was on a very high level. The pension was guaranteed. So you didn't have to save anything. I mean, you could spend anything you got. You didn't get much, but with that you could live very well.
Very well indeed. In those days, the workday ended at 2 p.m. Workers and their families took annual vacations on the coast or in the mountains. Most Yugoslavs owned a home. It was a poorer, but in many ways, easier time. Carmen Pechnik is a property manager in Ljubljana.
I remember when I was younger, for example, my parents, they had a lot of free time. And if I compare their life to my life now, I see that I'm rushing all the time. I'm trying to arrange things. Today, I think people with all that we have, we are never satisfied. We always have something we want and we can't get.
Recently, a documentary called Sretno Dijete, or Lucky Kid, was a big hit here in Slovenia. In it, filmmaker Igor Mirković sets out to find the heroes of his youth, the Yugo rock stars of the 70s and 80s.
Pa smo čak i mi koji smo od najmanjih nogu odrasli sa bolnim kompleksima.
Even us, he says, who were raised with powerful frustrations because we lived in a poor country at the end of the world, where films and books came with a 100-year delay. Even we felt like this was the place to be. Back then, Yugoslavia comprised 6 republics, 3 religions, 5 languages, a population of 25 million. Croats, Serbs, Bosnians, Slovenes, and other young Yugoslavs traveled across the country to see sold-out stadium shows by bands like Bijelo Dugme and Azra. Today, fewer than 2 million people live in Slovenia. The vast majority are Catholic. Nearly everyone speaks Slovene. Tomáš Zaniuk is a journalist for the country's state-funded alternative broadcaster, Radio Student Ljubljana.
Before, it was really culturally diverse. That was not really a big language barrier, you know, so you could understand each other. And you had this common background living in a socialistic Yugoslavia.
Bands today have a harder time crossing borders to other former republics. Even record sales, Zaniak says, aren't what they were in the days of Yugoslavia.
Together with the common cultural space, it was also the common marketing space. The records were sold out and printed in much higher numbers, you know, than now. now it's normal for middle popular band to sell maybe 2,000 records, you know, and that's a good score. And before, even the bands who would never come to the mainstream could sell easily 20,000 records.
The funny thing about Yuga nostalgia is that it doesn't necessarily entail any real desire to go back to those days. It's like being nostalgic for your childhood. You may romanticize it, but that doesn't mean you want to relive it. Aleš Debeliak has written widely about life here after socialism, and he says that what passes for Yuga nostalgia today is a hollow gesture. True Yuga nostalgia, he says, somewhat nostalgically, was dangerous.
In the early 1990s, when the wars for Yugoslav succession continued to rage, to pronounce yourself a Yugo-nostalgic person meant sticking it out, meant putting your reputation at risk, because Yugo-nostalgia was in the early 90s dismissed as the smokescreen for those that cannot let go of the political heritage of former Yugoslavia.
Young people, he says, may hang Tito posters on their walls and listen to Yugo rock, but that's as far as it goes.
Slovenians, young Slovenians, when they reach into the stocks of metaphors coming from all diverse Yugoslav traditions, they do so without any effort, inclination, or desire to reconstruct a political structure of Yugoslavia with soft communism. That is not in the horizon of Yugo-nostalgia at all.
Like any nostalgia, Yugo-nostalgia says a lot more about the present than the past. From an American perspective, Slovenia has everything a post-socialist country could want. Ljubljana is thronged with tourists from around the world. Slovenia has one of the strongest economies among new EU members. But material wealth doesn't necessarily translate into a better life. And among those who remember the old days, Slovenia's recent progress is a mixed blessing.
With all these consumer things such as, I don't know, cinemas and all these things, you can do a lot, but you are robbed from relationships. That is one of the things that I have noticed.
Again, property manager Carmen Pechnik.
So a lot of that Yugo nostalgia is because we remember the time when we had better relations with each other, a kinder life. We were not so anxious and so nervous about everyday life. This is present a lot nowadays, and I don't think it was there 20 years ago.
The furious pace of westernization may be inevitable, but it may also be the reason that so many people keep looking back. For NPR News, this is Amy Standen in Slovenia.
And you can hear Slovenian anthems to socialism at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.